I'd like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me in the Old Testament to the book of Proverbs, the fifth chapter, Proverbs chapter 5. I want to deal with a happy subject and find the true way to happiness as I speak on the secret or secrets to happiness in marriage. I said I subtitled this message 51 Years and Still Smiling. Now, there are some things that all of us know we ought to do, all of us. We ought to speak kindly. We ought to forgive quickly, all of us. We ought to keep a merry heart. That's good, like a medicine. We ought to speak from our heart sincerely with expressions of love. My wife and I have a little something unusual, and that is that her father was killed in an automobile accident when she was just a five-year-old girl, and she and her brother and mother were waiting for his return. He was a pastor, and he never came home. Someone came to the door, and they met that person with a cake they had made to give to their father and husband. And instead, they were greeted with the news that he had been killed in an automobile accident. Not realizing when he left home that day, he would never come back. I learned that story early on when I was seeing Evelyn and beginning to love her and get acquainted with her mother. And I thought about that. And we made a covenant together, a special thing, that we would never leave one another's presence without expressions of love. So it's every morning, no matter what she's doing, and every evening, no matter what she's doing or what I'm doing, we stop what we're doing and greet one another. Just this morning, of course, she was about her business already, and I was preparing for what God had for me to do this day. But when I said, I'm leaving now, leaving home, she stopped what she was doing, came to the door, and we kissed goodbye and said, I love you. I think that's a good thing. We have expressions when we retire at the end of the day. And just before I go off to sleep, I'll tell her, I love you. And when men lead that way in that particular fashion, women most likely will follow. And she says that she loves me too. That's better than going to bed fighting and fussing, aggravated about something. And there are lots of little things like that that aren't really little things. They make for big results. They're like deposits into the bank, and from those deposits you withdraw lots of loving feelings and expressions. And I'd like to deal with those things. Sometime I will. But that's not the object of this message. This message is to deal with the foundational things without which you could never be happy. And so I want you to write the verses down, if you would please. And then read them for yourself, meditate upon them. You may read and discuss them together. Take the time to do it. Let God speak to your heart. When we started out like those people 51 years ago tomorrow, when we started out, we didn't think about being together for half a century. We'd said what other people say in marriage, till death do us part. Both of our parents died younger than we are. And so I don't know what you're really thinking. You're just so much in love and crazy about one another, you think. You don't take really a lot of long looks. But we began to put the things into marriage that I think has paid the kind of dividend that God has blessed us with. And I'm going to try to help you do the same thing. If you have your Bible open to Proverbs chapter 5, I hope you'll take the time to read all around this passage. I say no more, but all around this passage about things God says to us. But the Word of God says in one verse, verse 18, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark this expression. Rejoice with thy wife. Secrets to happiness in marriage. Rejoice with thy wife. And so as we take them one by one and travel in a sense through the Bible from one to the other, I want you to put them down. But it's God's intention that we rejoice together. This is not entertainment. It's not some passing pleasure. It's not just an emotional experience. It's real rejoicing. And God enables us for that. I want you to start with me, please, in the book of Genesis, if you'll turn with me there, to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. Some things seem almost unnecessary to mention, but in this day and time, so much is changing before our very eyes. We need to emphasize what God emphasizes again and again. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." You're only going to find on this earth someone who's a male or someone who's a female. But the point of the verse is God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. And I believe that God created us. He created us to enjoy the life he gives us. This is his intent. God did not create us to put us in some sort of bondage. The bondage is brought on by ourselves as we sin against God and we live in self-rule. But Christ delivers us from that and restores us back to what God intended, as we find here in this dispensation of innocence. I want you to think about your life and your wife and your marriage and to know it's God's intention that you enjoy your marriage together. He made you this way. I don't have any idea or any thought in my mind that God is somewhere in heaven wringing his hands, wondering how everything's going to work out. Not at all. He's in absolute control. He exists as self-existing, needing no one else and nothing else to prop him up to exist. And when he made us in his image, he created us, his creation, the crown of which is the woman. Think, God tells us about the crown of his creation, this woman. And he made us male and female to enjoy the life that he blessed us with. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 2, if you would please. Let's begin reading with verse 21. "And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And she should be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now God found Adam alone, and he said it's not good that man should be alone. So God created the institute of marriage, the institution of marriage. God created it to complete man. You may say, if you're an unmarried man, I'm perfectly happy. Well, God must give you a grace he didn't give me. And I'm happy that he has, if that's the case. But it's God's design that men and women be married. Men marry women, women marry men. And in his design, he did it for our happiness, so we would not be alone. All of us who have been married for a while could tell you experiences we've had in life where our wife, our companion, the one with whom we are one in spirit, one in soul, and one in body, have brought such comfort to us. And the loneliness we would have without them would be so difficult to endure. So for our happiness, God put a man and a woman together, instituted marriage, and designed that we wouldn't have to be lonely. We could be with one another in a loving relationship that He designed. I want you to turn with me, please, again to the book of Ecclesiastes. And the Bible speaks about how we should live as married people. This is plain talk, and may God help us. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 26, the Bible says, "And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this I have found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account." God says, there's something more bitter than death on earth. More bitter than death. And that thing, He says, is to violate your marriage. More bitter than death. To give just a little more light on that, let's go back to the Proverbs just for a moment, where God tells us in verse 3 of chapter 5, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them." God says plainly here that the woman who is your wife is the only woman for you. If you want to be happy and have a happy marriage, you must come to that conclusion that you have one woman you can say, "This is my wife. This woman belongs to me." She can say, "This man belongs to me." Every other woman in the whole world is a stranger to you. And the word strange, look at it again in verse 3, meaning the woman does not belong to you. When I introduce my wife, I say, "This is my wife. Her name is Evelyn." I may introduce her to some lady who appears to be a lovely lady, but no matter what that woman appears to be or how kind she is, that woman does not belong to me. There may be a man there that my wife sees who is a kind, gracious fella, but that man does not belong to her. And I'm going to use some plain talk here. Don't get your mind on something that God says is sinful and wrong. If you want to have a happy marriage, you are committed to that woman, you are committed to that man you've married, and everyone else is strange to you, does not belong to you. And the thing that's more bitter than death is to violate the promise you've made to your life's mate. Let's go again, if you would please, turn with me from the book of Ecclesiastes to the book of Malachi. This is a book associated with so many things that God declares about His people and they want to deny. And we come to Malachi chapter 2. The Word of God says in verse 14, "Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth." There's that expression again, the wife of thy youth. "Against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant." If you want to know one of the great secrets in marriage for happiness, it is that your marriage is a covenant you make with God. It's greater than your wife or greater than your husband. For the Christian wife, she not only says to God or to her husband, "Yes, I promise to love, to cherish," and on it goes. He not only says to his wife, I promise to love and to cherish. The Christian is making a covenant with God that is not to be broken. And the covenant with God says, God, I'm taking this wife, I'm taking this husband, and I'm making a covenant with you, God, that no matter how she behaves or how he behaves, no matter how discouraged I may get, I'm making a covenant with you in our marriage. Now, I want to stop here to tell you that I cannot preach like this without having very sensitive feelings toward people who have gone through great hurt, even to divorce in their marriage. I grew up in a broken home. I remember the day my mother and father lined up all four of their children and said in front of us, look, it was so traumatic, I can tell you what the couch was covered with that I sat on. I can tell you where the sofa was placed in the room, how near it was to the door. I could describe in great detail what my father had on that day and what my mother was wearing. When they solemnly lined up four children, I being the oldest of four, and announced to us that they were going to end their marriage, my heart goes out to young people and to husbands and wives who have to go through that. But no father or mother ever raised a child to go through that. Now hear me. The desire we all have is to stay married and keep covenant with God. And so I'm not trying to get on anyone who suffered with that, because even the people who suffered with it would rear their children to never have to go through that. And so let's speak the truth in love. If you want to have a happy marriage, one of the great secrets in marriage is to recognize it's just not about your wife or your husband. It is about the covenant you made to God. God designed you for this marriage. God equipped you as a male or a female for this marriage. It's God's desire that you have joy and rejoicing in this marriage. God tells us that no other woman, once you make that commitment, is yours, and no other man is yours. And now God says, remember that you've entered into a covenant with God, the same Creator God who created man and created woman, who designed male and female, you have covenanted with, that in your covenant of marriage, you've given word to God that we're going to be together and love one another and grow like we ought to grow as a family and as a couple. That's what we find in the Word of God. I want you to turn with me again, if you would, please. I'm just trying to cover some of the bases here. In John chapter 13, Jesus uses the word here, happy. And he tells us in the 17th verse, as he has washed the disciples' feet, I want you to get that visual image. Their feet are in God's hands, meaning their steps are guided by the Lord. Their feet are in God's hands. Christ has taken his hands and washed their feet. And he talks to them about the example he set. And he says in verse 17, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. If you want to have happiness in your marriage, you must live in obedience to God with your steps in God's hands. You must live in obedience to God with your steps in God's hands. You say, I just came into a lot of money and I'm going to take a great trip. You could travel 1,000 miles or 10,000 miles on a vacation with your wife and be as miserable can be, because your travel is not going to make you happy. Your steps in God's hands will make you happy. I know that because that's what God's promised here. If we live in obedience to Him, if we do the things we know and live in obedience to Him. So you say, I want to have a wonderful marriage. Then your wonderful marriage would mean that you give your life to follow the Lord and keep your feet in God's hands to direct your steps. If you want to live in rebellion, have your own way, live a self-ruled life, as selfish as possible, serving yourself and neglecting your wife, don't expect happiness no matter how much money you spend. And you can say, I love you 1,000 times, Unless you have those true expressions of love in your behavior, you're never going to convince your husband or your wife that there's real love there. Let's look again, please. Because I want you to be happy in your home, in your marriage. I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians just for a moment. The language gets very plain here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. The Bible gives marriage for many reasons. But here is one very plain spoken reason. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication. I want you to mark that word. To avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. And let every woman have her own husband. Someone said in my presence more than 30 or 40 years ago, it's now 6 o'clock in America. Now you may scold me for using that expression. I'm repeating something someone said, and I think it's necessary for you to hear it. I mean by that, of course, you're going to have a hard time explaining to your children. It's not 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. But the point is, everything in advertising and appeal is created around sexual appeal. You buy the right car, you get a nice, beautiful woman to go ride around with you in it. You go to some beer joint and drink. That's where the real party is going on, and all the handsome fellas and all the beautiful women are there drinking. That's what the advertisement says. Everything from soap to is designed so that there's an appeal to the flesh and the eyes to cause you to lust, to dream of things, think of things you shouldn't be doing. And God says to avoid fornication. Fornication is having a sexual relationship as an unmarried person. Adultery is breaking a marriage covenant. If a man and woman are married and adultery is committed, by the way, there were states in the United States of America that would only grant divorce years ago on the basis of adultery. Some people went out and committed adultery just to be able to get the divorce. They were following the Bible, you see. But an adulterous relationship would be someone in that marriage, man or woman, to have a sexual relationship with another person, a strange person, a person who's not theirs. Fornication is having a sexual relationship with unmarried people. Unmarried people with unmarried people. If you even read a little bit or hear just a little bit about what goes on in some places, especially some college dorms on college campuses, you may be shocked. You know, someone wrote recently, it's no longer just a handshake and how do. You do. It's having a sexual relationship with someone as a greeting. I don't want to go much into that. I'm just saying to you, God designed marriage to deal with fornication. And so you're thinking sometimes, what does that mean? Everybody's running around lusting after everybody? No. No, but God created you so you could enjoy the pleasures of marriage in every aspect. Outside of marriage, those gifts are to be withheld until marriage. Sometimes I say to young people when I'm speaking to a youth group, at Christmas you get Christmas gifts. It can't be opened until Christmas. And when Christmas comes, you open those gifts. The same thing in your body. God gives you gifts that are pleasurable and enjoyable. But some of those gifts cannot be opened till after marriage. That's the way God has designed it. And if you want to be happy, obey God in the matter here that He's instructed us in the Word of God. If you think you're having pleasure outside of marriage, without being married, in a relationship that is forbidden by God until marriage, you're going to find out that your happiness is going to explode on you someday, because it's written in the law of God that it cannot It cannot bring the fulfillment and happiness and rejoicing outside of God's will. I want you to go with me to the book of Ephesians, if you would, please. Chapter 5. It's amazing to me that the Lord would use this the way he does, but he uses it about being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. May I stop there just a moment? We're going to be dealing with marriage in just a moment in this same context. If you want to have a happy marriage and know the secret to happiness in marriage, become the greatest spirit-filled Christian you can become by yielding to the Lord. The better Christian you truly are. I'm not talking about something that you hang out on a place for everybody to see. I'm talking about genuine Christianity. Walking with the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord, happiness in Christ, peace of heart and mind, the things that God gives. If you want happiness in your marriage, become the best Christian you can become. God says, speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You say, I don't like that. Well, the reason you don't like it is because you're not the Christian you ought to be. The Bible says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. How in the world can you do that? By working on these things, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Let's just imagine we had someone standing here. And I'm not going to pull some up here because you may get the wrong idea, but let's have someone standing here. The number one thing that Christian has responsibility for is being happy in the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord, knowing the Lord. If that person wants to get married, a man to a wife or a woman to a man and a man to a woman, the greatest thing they can do is be that Christian in their own heart that's able to rejoice in the Lord and obey what God says about your part, whatever your part may be as a woman or as a man. It's God's design. But it can't be done without God. If you think you can just work on your looks and work on your abilities, work on your body or work on whatever, and then you're going to just fall into great happiness in marriage, you're wrong. There is no great happiness in marriage apart from being joyful in the Lord. There are times, I hate to say this, but there are times, you would imagine this to be true because it is, there are times Evelyn and I have to really work through some things. You don't go through 51 years of marriage without battling some things out. You know, Dr. Hudson said one time, the last time I saw Jerry, it had been 3 days since I saw Jerry, and finally one of my eyes opened up just a little bit. He was trying to be funny, but he taught us some things. He said, the last time she spoke to me, she was on her knees. She was down on her knees saying, get up on that bed and fight like a man, you know. So I think that's an exaggeration. He was trying to make a point. No one believes that, but he was trying to make the point that you do have struggles. We carry around an old nature until we see Jesus. How do you resolve those conflicts? How do you resolve those conflicts? You cannot without Christ-likeness. You cannot. And husbands, help your wife be a better Christian, praying for her, encouraging her, thanking her, expressing appreciation. Do that. Wives, do the same thing for your husband. There are certain things men enjoy. I'm talking about things about appreciation, thank you, all this kind of stuff. You can go down a long line if you want to in another direction. Still good, that's great, but I'm not going to talk about it in public. And with what I've had to happen in my physical limitations, I have to sometimes say to my wife, I feel I don't need to, but I She says I don't need to, but I say, I'm sorry I can't lift that. I'm sorry I can't. And I try to do everything I can to encourage her. And her attitude toward that helps me live with it and want to get better. Constantly, you can do better, you will do better, you're improving. Just today, she said, I can see you've got more strength in your leg. I'm working at it. I have a special pair of shoes I bought to keep from wearing this brace. And I had them on today, and they worked. And the happiest person was not me. The happiest person was her. She needs to be fully equipped to help me. Now, my happiness does not depend on her. It all depends on the Lord, my walk with the Lord. And I need to be fully equipped as much as possible to encourage her. That's the secret to marriage. You know, we are the best we can be with God so we can be the husbands and wives that God wants us to be. That's what this passage is all about. Then I want you to turn with me again quickly to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. And the Bible says, let brotherly love continue. Verse 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable. Mark that expression. In all things. And the bed undefiled. And look what God says. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. He's referencing the covenant you've made with God in marriage. How would you like to have someone say someday, you're behaving as a whoremonger? Or you're behaving as an adulterer? That's the seriousness of breaking your covenant with God. But God says marriage is honorable. You see, Christian people should not make a habit of talking about how bad everything is in their marriage. They shouldn't make a habit of complaining about things they don't like about their mate. Because God says marriage is honorable. It's God's design. It's what God equipped us and made us for. As I said, God may give you grace to be single, but God designed your body to be married. God designed you for marriage. It's nothing to speak shamefully about. It's honorable. It's honorable to want to be married. It's honorable in all things. And when you are married, speak of your marriage, your husband, your wife, in an honorable way. That's God's way. And be happy about it. I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Peter just for a moment. Verse 7 of chapter 3, the Bible says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. We've talked a lot about that. God says, you want to know the secret? One of the secrets to happiness in marriage? To dwell with your wife according to knowledge. Keep learning and growing together. You know, some of us need to work hard at that in the communication skills. Evelyn and I, sometimes I can start a sentence and she can finish the same sentence. Sometimes she does. Maybe it's not the best thing in the world sometimes, but I'm just saying we know one another that way. I'm saying to you, if you're not growing, you're not moving in the right direction. Your marriage needs to grow. Expanding, growing. That brings happiness. May God guide us. And then I want you to see something here. He concludes in these epistles in 2 Peter chapter 3 with these words. Verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, before. Beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. You can always be going backward. Let me ask you a frank question. Are you more happily married today than you were 5 years ago, a year ago, a month ago? Are you happier in your marriage? More joyful in your marriage, in your life? It's God's intention. Have you gotten to the place where you can't stand one another? That's not God's way. God says we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 18, 2 Peter chapter 3. This Bible is full of open secrets to happiness in life and marriage. My wife and I sat in Culver's the other day. You ever been there? I'm glad Knoxville finally got one. They're talking about bringing one out in this neck of the woods. I say, come on. If you haven't been there, it's a great advertisement for them. I'll give McDonald's and Wendy's and Burger King and everybody else time later. My wife's Taco Bell and that type of thing. I think she's going to turn into a taco sometimes. But we were sitting there in Culver's, positioned where we were looking across the restaurant to a man, his wife, and two children. One I imagine to be maybe 14, 15 years old, and the other like a 9-year-old. They were miserable. The man was totally oblivious to everything that was going on. I wish I'd been sitting somewhere else. The mother would not stop correcting. The boys couldn't take a bite of food without her saying something. And the boys couldn't stop fighting. Finally, the youngest boy had to leave the table and go eat on another table by himself to get the fight stopped. You say, what are you thinking? What are you saying all that for? I'm saying it for this. I sat there and thought, they won't be young like that forever. They're blessed to be out as a family, but they're totally miserable, and they could be so very happy. Two healthy boys, all appearances, a healthy mom and dad. They could be so happy. And I apply it this way. I see people who are married. Maybe they had a dream wedding. Maybe they had a nice, expensive honeymoon. But their marriage is miserable or tentative or shaky. And I say, that is not what God designed. And some of you listening to me know that your own marriage has holes and missing things in it. All of us have to keep working at it. I want to be happier with my wife at this time in my life than I ever was when we first met and married over 50 years ago. And I believe that's the way God's designed it. I ask you again, what kind of marriage do you have? Do you have the happiness that God designed for you? That's what we're praying for. Let God do the work in your heart so you can have the marriage He designed for you to have. Would you pray with me?